In the Middle Ages, Sweden was called the Kingdom of the Swedes and Yates. Since as late as the 13th century, these tribes still played an important role in the country's early history. Belonging to one of them carried great political significance. This division was one of the reasons for the prolonged struggle for the crown between two Swedish dynasties, the houses of Sverker and Erik. In the end, both clans lost. Yet every subsequent king of Sweden faced the same primary task: to unite the fragmented tribes into one strong nation. Feudalism in Sweden developed differently from most medieval European countries. In the Kingdom of the Swedes and Yates, there was a powerful tribal nobility whose authority rested on the ancient traditions of the Viking Age. They could elect and depose a king, a rare phenomenon in Europe at that time. The assemblies of the Swedish nobility became the prototype of the Swedish parliament, the Riksdag. These features distinguished the history of medieval Sweden from that of Europe at large. The political conditions became the foundation of a unique state model, which later helped the country become one of the most powerful forces on the continent. But first, Sweden had to endure the difficult 12th to 14th centuries, when there was a real danger that the kingdom might cease to exist. Only the wisdom and determination of several rulers saved the country from vanishing from the map. King Inga the Elder managed to reunite Sweden. During his reign, he waged war with Norway, later concluding peace at Kungahella. He also fought Denmark over possession of the province of Skåne. According to the sagas, he even managed to conquer these lands and rule there for 3 years. Less reliable, however, is the mention of a war with the princes of Kievan Rus, the so-called Valdemar and Jarisleif. Since these events are not confirmed in the Chronicles of Rus, most modern historians doubt their authenticity. This reference comes from the chronicle History of All the Kings of the Yates and the Swedes, written in the 16th century. Its author supplemented Sweden's real history with legends, including tales of mythical kings presented as historical rulers. For this reason, the first verifiable monarch of Sweden, Erik the Victorious, is listed there as Erik the Seventh. A similar confusion occurred with Charles, son of Stenkil, who is called Charles the Seventh in the same work. At the time, this was not seen as strange. In the 16th century, legendary and mythical history was treated as factual. And while neighboring Scandinavian peoples had sagas that could at least be believed, or doubted, Sweden had very little even in terms of such oral traditions. Thus, the early history of the country is known to us only in fragments. For example, we do not know the exact date of Inga the Elder's death. According to various assumptions, it happened between 1103 and 1118. The cause of his death is also uncertain. Some sources speak of illness or old age, others of possible murder by conspirators. After his death, the throne passed to his nephews, Philip and Inga the Younger. But it is not known for certain whether they ruled simultaneously or one after the other. Different sagas and chronicles contradict each other. According to the chronicles, King Inga the Younger did not possess much talent for governance. He is also described as a man prone to drunkenness, which was likely the cause of his death sometime between 1125 and 1130. After his death, the Swedes elected Reginvald Knapphövde as their new king. His origins remain disputed to this day. Some believe he was the son of Inga the Elder, since the chronicles mention that this king had a son by that name. Others consider him the son of the powerful Swedish Jarl, Olaf Neskonung. Upon becoming king, Reginvald set out on a journey across Sweden to receive oaths of loyalty from his subjects. But he made a fatal mistake. He brought too few troops with him, and in West Gothland he even failed to take hostages, a common element of political security at the time. The Yates saw this as their chance to rid themselves of Swedish authority. One night, they killed the king. For his short-sightedness, the Swedes gave Reginvald the nickname Knapphövde. In Sweden, this was the name for the large clay jars used for storing water. The mocking epithet essentially meant empty-headed. After this, Sweden once again became divided. The Yates invited the Danish prince Magnus the Strong to rule them, while the Swedes were led by Jarl Sverker the Elder. According to the sagas, he was the son of the mythical king Erik Orsell, though another version claims Sverker was of East Yatish origin. Although little is known about Sverker's reign, he may be considered a talented military leader. By 1134, he had reclaimed Gothland from the Danes and reunited Sweden. To strengthen his position, he married the widow of King Inga the Younger. Thanks to this alliance and his own political skill, Sverker was able to rule for more than two decades. Toward the end of his reign, Sverker once again faced conflict with the Danes. In 1153, the Danish king Svein III Gratha attempted to seize the province of Smaland, but suffered defeat. By the following year, he made peace with the Swedes. At Christmas in 1156, while Sverker was on his way to church, he was murdered by conspirators. Even contemporaries could not agree on who was behind the assassination. Some suspected the Danish prince Magnus Henriksen, nephew of Magnus the Strong, who claimed the Swedish throne. Others blamed the influential Jarl of West Gothland, Erik Edvardsson, for it was he who became king after Sverker's death. King Erik IX is remembered above all else for his piety. He built churches and monasteries and supported the strengthening of Christianity in the country. He also organized Sweden's first crusade against the Finns, which marked the beginning of Sweden's long conquest of Finland. A popular legend about the creation of the modern Swedish flag is tied to this campaign. According to the story, when Erik landed on the Finnish shore, he saw a golden cross appear in the sky. This was said to symbolize the coming victory. Still, historians note that such a flag is only attested in sources from the 16th century. Meanwhile, the Danish prince Magnus gathered enough troops to seize Sweden and won the support of several local nobles dissatisfied with the king. In 1160, they attacked Uppsala together, where, just as he was leaving the church, King Erik was killed. Magnus declared himself the new ruler, but most Swedes opposed him. The people began to venerate Erik as a saint and heavenly patron of the kingdom. At this time, Karl Sverkson, the son of Sverker the Elder, raised his own forces. In 1161, near Örebro, he crushed the Danes, and Magnus was killed in battle. After this victory, Karl became the new king of Sweden. His most important achievement is considered the establishment of the Archbishopric of Uppsala, which made the Swedish church independent from German influence. The further history of Sweden turned into a prolonged confrontation between two powerful dynasties, the Sverkers and the Eriks. Events unfolded almost cyclically. While one branch held the throne, the rival gathered followers and raised an army. In the end, he would kill the reigning king, seize the crown, only to be slain a few years later by the son of the previous ruler. And then the cycle repeated. This continued for almost 60 years. In 1167, Knut Eriksson, son of Saint Erik, who had for some time been an exile in Norway, invaded Sweden with his army. On the island of Visingsö, he killed King Karl Sverkerson. The circumstances remain unclear, whether it was a battle, an ambush, or even murder during negotiations. Having become king, Knut immediately faced new rivals, Kol and Borislev of the Sverker dynasty. Historians are unsure whether they were younger brothers or nephews of Karl VII. Yet already in 1169, Kol and Borislev were defeated at the Battle of Bjelbu. The underage son of Karl VII, Sverker the Young, was then taken to Denmark. Thanks to this victory, Knut I was able to hold power in Sweden for a long time. Without wars, the kingdom strengthened, trade developed, and towns expanded. But in 1187, one of the most controversial episodes of medieval Swedish history occurred. Chronicles of the time recount that Karelian pirates attacked Sweden's capital, looted, and burned it. For a long time, these accounts were believed. However, modern archaeological research has shown that the city did not suffer significant destruction or fire at that time. So, if the raid happened, its scale was greatly exaggerated. An additional layer of intrigue comes from a theory by 19th century Russian historians, who claimed that the raiders were Novgorodians. Allegedly, they brought back from Sigtuna a trophy known as the Pillage of Sigtuna. In reality, though, those gates came from Magdeburg and reached Novgorod through Poles and Lithuanians. Knut Eriksson died in 1196. Swedish nobles then chose Sverker the Young, son of Karl Sverkersson, as the new king. The first years of his reign passed peacefully. Yet in 1203, the sons of Knut Eriksson rose in rebellion. Sverker defeated them at the Battle of Elgaros, in which three of the Eriksson brothers were killed, while the fourth, Erik Knudsen, fled to Norway. In 1208, Erik invaded Sweden again with a Norwegian army. This time, he secured the support of the powerful Folke, Jarl of the Bjelbu clan. Together, they won the Battle of Lena, forcing Sverker to flee to Denmark. Erik Knudsen became the new king of Sweden. 2 years later, Sverker returned with Danish mercenaries. The Swedes confronted them at the Battle of Gjestelrin, where King Sverker was killed. In that same battle, Folke Jarl also fell. Chronicles even claim he personally struck down the former king. King Erik X ruled only briefly. In 1216, he died before the birth of his son. At that point, the Swedish nobles elected as the new monarch the underage Johan Sverkersson, son of Sverker the Younger. By then, both mighty dynasties had been nearly destroyed by the long wars. Only underage heirs remained alive. The Jarls, too, were exhausted, and so they chose negotiations instead of battles. After the death of Johan Sverkersson in 1222, the Swedes elected the minor Erik Eriksson, son of Erik X, as king. In history, he is known as Erik the 11th, Erik the Lisp and Lame. At this time, the Folkunar gained power. At first, this was a clan from Bjelbu, descended from the mythical Folke Filbiter. Later, other noble families joined it, and the Folkunar grew into a political movement that defended the rights and privileges of the local nobility and opposed the strengthening of royal authority. Over time, the dynasty and the movement went their separate ways. The clan itself became a royal dynasty and supported the strengthening of the monarch's power, while the Folkunar movement began to fight against it, repeatedly raising revolts. To avoid confusion, modern historians usually call the royal dynasty of the Folkung the House of Bjelbu. In 1229, the Folkunar rebelled against Erik the 11th. They crushed his army at the Battle of Olustra, and the king fled to Denmark. The new ruler of Sweden became Knut Lange. Little is known to historians about his origins and role in the uprising. The only evidence preserved is that through marriage he was closely connected with the Folkung clan. According to one version, Knut came from a side branch of the dynasty of the Eriks. According to another, he was the son of the influential Svealand Jarl Jan, who won fame in campaigns in Finland. Sources are also silent about Knut's reign. There are not even exact details about how this king died in 1234. When Erik the 11th regained the crown of Sweden. During Erik's second reign, more and more power was concentrated in the hands of Birger Jarl of the Folkung clan, the king's brother-in-law. In fact, he was the one who ruled the state. It was Jarl Birger who managed to defeat Holmir Knudsen, son of Knut the Tall, when he tried, with Danish support, to seize power in Sweden. Birger Jarl carried out legislative reforms, developed trade, and built towns. It was he who in 1252 founded the modern capital of Sweden, Stockholm. The Jarl took part in the conquest and Christianization of Finland, leading the Second Crusade. During the campaign, he subdued most of the local tribes. He is also credited with participating in the battle with the Novgorod Prince Alexander Nevsky on the Neva River. but Swedish sources make no mention of it. Thus, modern historians assume that it may have been a minor border skirmish, or even a complete fiction. King Eric XI died without leaving an heir. Therefore, the throne passed to his nephew, the eldest son of Birger Jarl, Valdemar Birgersson. At the same time, Birger Jarl's younger sons received ducal titles. Thus, the Folkung dynasty became royal. Along with this, it came into conflict with the political Folkung movement, which rose in revolt against Birger, but was defeated. After the death of their father in 1266, conflicts arose between Valdemar Birgersson and his younger brothers. Eventually, the disputes escalated into war, known in Swedish history as the First Brothers' War. Already at the very beginning, Valdemar lost the Battle of Hova and fled to Norway. The new king of Sweden became his younger brother Magnus Birgersson. Later, Valdemar returned to his homeland several times. He reconciled with his brother, but soon after again became involved in political plots, and the war flared up once more. Each time, he had to flee Sweden. Magnus Birgersson continued the policy of his father. He centralized Sweden, established a single code of laws for the whole kingdom, and banned slavery in Sweden. He gained the greatest fame among the Swedes by protecting the peasants from the arbitrariness of the feudal lords. For this, the king was nicknamed Ladulos. In Sweden, this was the name given to the locks hung on granary doors. It was a hint that the king was guarding the property of common folk. In 1290, after the death of Magnus Ladulos, his minor son Birger Magnusson became king. At first, the state was governed by regent Torkel Knudsen. When Birger began to rule independently, he proved to be an unsuccessful politician. He was constantly in conflict with his brothers. This led to the Second Brothers' War. In 1305, the king reconciled with his brothers. But already the next year, they seized Birger and imprisoned him near the capital. This episode went down in history as the Hotuna Games. 2 years later, Birger escaped from captivity, secured the support of Denmark, and resumed the war with his brothers. A truce was concluded only in 1310. Then the king was returned the throne, in exchange for having to grant his brothers significant land holdings. In December 1317, on the eve of Christmas, Birger invited his brothers to a festive banquet. But instead of reconciliation, he imprisoned them, and soon had them executed. These events became known as the Nyköping Banquet, after the castle where Birger threw his brothers into prison. The king's actions caused outrage among the Swedes, and they rose up against him. Birger, lacking troops to resist, was forced to flee. The new ruler was proclaimed to be the 3-year-old son of Duke Eric Magnusson, Magnus IV. Shortly before this, he had also inherited the crown of Norway from his grandfather. For the first time in history, Norway and Sweden were united in a union. Remaining separate kingdoms, they had one monarch. In the first years of Magnus IV's reign, power belonged to a regency council, where intrigue and disputes went on without end. The situation did not change when the king came of age. He was easily influenced by his advisors and constantly made unpopular decisions. Thus, in 1332, the still young Magnus agreed to buy back Scania for 34,000 marks of silver, an enormous sum for Sweden of that time. To do this, he had to borrow money and raise taxes. This further undermined his authority. Magnus also gained no popularity from his unsuccessful military campaigns. Twice he tried to retake Nöteborg. This fortress, located at the source of the Neva from Lake Ladoga, was then under Novgorod's control. Both attempts ended the same way. The Swedish troops besieged the city. The local nobility sided with them and surrendered the fortress. But as soon as the main forces returned home, the Novgorodians attacked the Swedish garrison and took back Nöteborg. At this time, the influence of one of the king's favorites grew significantly, and Magnus even made him Duke of Finland. Dissatisfied Swedes rose in rebellion against the king. They were led by Prince Erik Magnusson. The king was forced to flee to Norway, where his younger son Håkon VI ruled. Magnus tried to wage war against his son with Danish support. However, King Erik XII died of the plague in 1359. Only then did Magnus regain the throne. His second reign began with a war against Denmark. King Valdemar IV Otterdag took the opportunity to reclaim Scania. Within a year, the Danes had seized it. The next year, Valdemar conquered the islands of Erland and Gotland. To stop the Danish advance, Magnus IV concluded an alliance with the Hanseatic League, a trade federation of towns in northern Germany. The price for their support was granting privileges to Hanseatic merchants. This was the greatest blow to Sweden's economy. Already in 1363, dissatisfied Swedes rose against King Magnus. They invited his nephew Albert, son of the Duke of Mecklenburg, to take the throne. He arrived in Stockholm and led the rebel troops. The war lasted 3 years. Magnus VII was defeated in the Battle of Gottaskogen. He was held in captivity for 6 years until his son Håkon VI ransomed him. Thus ended another turbulent era in the history of Sweden. The kingdom once again split into tribes and then reunited. In the fierce struggle of the feudal families, the Swedes and the Yates gradually merged into a single Swedish nation. And in the war between the Sverkers and the Eriks, it was the Folkung dynasty that prevailed, whose golden lion still adorns the coat of arms of Sweden today.